The epistle for the Feast of the Holy Trinity is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God! How incomprehensible are his judgments, and how unsearchable his ways! For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and recompense shall be made him? For of him, and by him, and in him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. And please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel is taken from that of St. Matthew, chapter 28. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world." And these are the words of today's gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Father, Reverend Deacon, my dear faithful, as I said, today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Trinity, one of the principal mysteries of our faith, one of the cornerstone doctrines of our beloved faith, a supernatural mystery, a doctrine that we could not fathom, could not understand simply left to our own devices, a mystery so profound, so sublime, that it requires the revelation of God to us for us to catch a glimpse at the truth of the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. Now, of course, we often focus on the external actions of God, those actions which are attributed to God. We attribute the act of creation to God the Father. We attribute the act of redemption to God the Son. We attribute the act of our sanctification to God the Holy Ghost. But what of the internal life of God? We might ask ourselves the question, if we could, what was God doing before he created us? What is the interior life of God? What is the essence of the Godhead? What is this life of the Trinity? It's an important question for us to ask, because, of course, we are meant to know, love, and serve God in this life so that we might be happy with him in heaven. And thus, our chief duty in this life is to know more about God so that we might love God with a more and more profound love. But what's more, it's an important question for us because we are meant to share in this life. Ultimately, we are meant to have this life in heaven, to share in this divine life of the Trinity, through this life of glory that we will be granted in heaven. But it is also a life that we are meant to live here and now, on the face of this earth, right now, even as I speak, by the life of grace that we are called to, by the life that we have been given by our baptism. What is this interior life of the Trinity that we are meant to live by, that we are meant to live for? Now, of course, we know the doctrine of the Trinity, as I said, a great mystery, one that we can only glimpse or gather a brief understanding of. But what we know is, of course, the following. There are three persons in one God, three distinct persons, equal, almighty, eternal, infinite, and yet one nature, one divine essence. There is only one God, and yet there are three persons in this one God. The Father begets the Son, the Word, the eternal Word, from all eternity by a perfect knowledge of himself. God, because he is God, of course, knows himself perfectly. He knows all things perfectly. And in expressing that knowledge of himself, he expresses himself so perfectly that he begets a second person, the Son, who is the perfect reflection of the Father. And the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and Son eternally by a perfect act of love. God the Father and God the Son, knowing themselves perfectly, contemplating themselves perfectly from all eternity, cannot help but love each other perfectly. And that love is so perfect that it breathes forth, it spirates a third person, And that person we call the Holy Ghost, the love of God. And thus, from all eternity, God has known himself perfectly and known everything there is to know about himself. And thus, from all eternity, God has loved himself perfectly. And so when we ask the question, what was God doing before he created me? God forbid. I can't imagine the world existing without me. But there was a time, yes, when none of us existed. What was God doing? He was knowing himself perfectly, and he was loving himself perfectly. And that was enough. It was only because God is so good and wished to share his happiness with us in heaven that he created us. He didn't need to create. He was perfectly content in the contemplation, the knowledge of himself, and in the love of himself. And so when we ask, what is the interior life of the Trinity? It is a life of knowledge and love, a perfect knowledge of the divine essence, knowing everything in himself. And it is a perfect love of himself, resting in himself, finding contentment in himself. As I said, this doctrine of the Trinity is a profound doctrine, a sublime doctrine. And thus we should spend some time today thinking about the Trinity, contemplating this life of knowledge and love, this life of God. Because again, what were we made for but to know, love, and serve God and to render ourselves back to God? God should be the focus of everything we do. He should literally consume our thoughts so that anything else that we think of, anything else that we desire, anything else that we may possibly consider is either a distraction from this love of God, this knowledge of God, or a necessary step, a means to gain God. We should be so consumed with the thought, the knowledge of God, and the love of God that everything else must be seen as a means to that end, as a stepping stone to this life of the Trinity. As I said, though, we are also called to share in this divine life. This doctrine of the Trinity is not just important because it is the focal point of our thinking of God. It is also important because we are meant to live this life. We read in the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, that man is created in the image and likeness of God. It means that man is created with an intellect to know truth, to seek after truth. He has been given a brain, a mind, in order to pursue the truth and to constantly seek after what is true and to rest in that truth. He has also been given a free will to choose, to desire what is good, and to love what is good. And thus man, using his intellect and his will, is meant to know and to love God. Even in this life, we are meant to live this life of knowledge and love. And we are meant to know and to love everything that is true, everything that is good in God. Whatever we know, whatever knowledge we possess, whatever we love, whatever we desire, cannot be desired divorced from the reality of God. Thus, whatever studies you pursue, if they are not leading you to God, they are useless. They are a waste of time. Whatever you seek after, whatever you think about, whatever you love, whatever you desire, if it does not lead us to God, then it is a waste of time. It is a hindrance to this possession of the divine life. We are called to share in the life of the Trinity. In heaven, of course, our life will be a life of knowledge and love. Imagine, we will know God exactly as he is. Not, of course, completely or perfectly, because only God can know himself perfectly. But we will know God as perfectly as we are capable of knowing him. Is that something that inspires us? Is that something that motivates us? To seek after heaven with all of our strength, all of our mind. We will know God as he is meant to be known in heaven. And we will know all things in God. Everything that we've ever wanted to know. Everything that we were curious about, we will know in heaven, but we will have that knowledge in God. And therefore, there will be no error in heaven. We will not make mistakes. We will not stubbornly hold to our own foolish opinions, our own selfish desires. We will possess the truth in heaven because we will possess God. And what's more, in heaven, we will love God perfectly. Nothing will distract us from the love of God. Our entire focus will be on God. And all those that we love, all of the blessed in heaven, we will love them, but we will love them in God. We will love them for God. There will be no selfish desires in heaven, using people for what we can get out of them. There will be no disorder in our passions, loving those who are not worthy of our love, or pursuing things which are not worthy of our pursuits. In heaven, we will love all men, all women, for the love of God, because we will love them in God. And thus in heaven, we will possess God. We will rest in God. We will share the divine life of the Trinity in heaven. But as I said, this life is also meant to be led here and now. Each one of us should be at least participating in some way in the divine life here and now, through a life of charity, through the life of grace, which we have been called to. This life of the Trinity, this life of knowledge and love, must begin here in this life if we are going to have that share in eternal glory in heaven. And thus, we are meant to know God. We are meant to know God through the faith, through what God has revealed to us, through what the church teaches us. That's why it's so important for us as followers of Christ, as members of the mystical body of Christ, to think according to the mind of the church, to allow the church to influence us, to allow the church to guide us, to follow the example of the saints, to follow the teachings of our Lord. This mind of the church means that we allow the church to influence us, not just in what is absolutely required, the moral law, the Ten Commandments, the six precepts of the church, but it also means that we live a Catholic life, a Catholic cultural life. We allow the church to influence us, to inspire us through the arts, through its beautiful music, its sacred music, through the examples of nobility that are given us in the liturgy, through the examples of the history of the church with the great saints, the great champions of God. We must pursue after the wisdom of the saints. If we wish to live this life of knowledge of God in this life, we must seek after the truth. We must love the truth, and we must cultivate the truth in our own hearts as well as in our families. It means that we must not be content with the purely worldly knowledge, foolish knowledge, useless knowledge. We must see, in a sense, everything as a stepping stone to God, as a means to gain the eternal truth. And this life of the Trinity means we must also love God in this life, through the practice of charity, as I said, through the following of the example of Christ and his saints, to seek God alone, to literally make God the focus of everything we do. Can we truly say that? On this feast of the Blessed Trinity, in which we consider the life of God, can we truly say that God is what is most important to me? Remember what our Lord himself tells us. He says, where your treasure is, there is your heart. Is God everything to me? Well, that means I think about God. I desire God. I'm consumed with God. Can we truly say that we are consumed with God? Can we truly say that we are beginning to live this life of the Trinity? This life of love also means that we love each other for the love of God. It means that we desire each other's holiness, each other's sanctification, each other's eternal salvation, more than anything else in the world. And that means we practice a life of sacrifice, a life of selflessness, a life of goodness. Ultimately, this life of knowledge and love of God, this life of the Trinity in this life, means that we see God in all things and that we love all things in God. That's why someone like a Saint Francis of Assisi could truly address the sun as brother sun, the moon as sister moon. He could address the grass of the field because he saw God in everything. He literally saw everything in creation as a means to lead him to God. And that's why he could truly address everyone he meant as brother or sister, because he saw God in them and he loved God in them. My dear faithful, on this feast then of the Holy Trinity, let us contemplate this sublime mystery. The life of God is a life of knowledge and love. It is a life that we are called to share in, ultimately in heaven, a life that is perfected through the beatific vision, but a life that we are meant to begin here and now, through a life of faith, through a life of charity, through a life of grace. Let us seek to know God better so that we might love God better. And for this, of course, we turn to the Blessed Virgin Mary. We, of course, also celebrate one of her feasts today, the Queenship of Mary. And it's interesting, Father Garrigou Lagrange, one of the great Thomistic commentators, a Dominican, says there are many reasons why we call Our Lady Queen, but one of the reasons that he lists is Our Lady's relation to the Trinity. He points out that the Blessed Virgin Mary is the first adopted daughter of the Father. She is, of course, the mother of the Son, and she is the handmaid of the Holy Ghost. Our Lady is Queen because she lived this life of the Trinity, this life of knowledge and love. Let us then ask her intercession to help us contemplate this doctrine of the Blessed Trinity. Let us ask her intercession to help us live this life of the Trinity, a life of knowledge and love. Let us ask Our Lady, finally, to help us gain eternal life so that this life of the Trinity will find its culmination, will find its perfection, will find its completion in the beatific vision, where we will know God as he is meant to be known, and we will love God as he is meant to be loved. We will know God, and we will love God, and we will possess God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.